Welcome to a podcast from Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Have us pray again. One of the prayers in the New Testament is come Lord Jesus. And sometimes we use it as a prayer saying, Lord, things are so bad, so desperate, come and rescue us out of this situation. But it's also used in the sense of come Lord Jesus, may your kingdom break in into my school, into my workplace, into my neighborhood, into my life. And so, again, I only encourage you, let's just divide into groups of four or five, and we're just going to take just a minute or two and just to pray. And we're just going to say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. And then you name that area where you want Jesus to break in. Whether it's out, you may just want to say, Lord Jesus, come into my workplace. Lord Jesus, break into my school. And so let's just do that. I encourage you, let's quickly divide, turn around, four, maybe five people, and then, let's pray. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Break into all of those areas that we just named. We pray this in your name. Let's listen to a rendition of Romans chapter 8 in this next video.
The future glory. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory.
Albert Einstein said, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you have to keep moving. It's easy sometimes, isn't it, to to feel a little bit stuck, to find ourselves in a rut, to feel as if life has been stalled somewhere along the line. And we often think of January 1st, New Year's, is a great time to break with some habits and some thoughts that failed us in the last year and to imagine a new way of living, a new reality. One of those key words that the Bible uses is the word transformation. Listen to these words from Romans. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Or as the Message puts it, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And maybe this morning there are some specific areas you long to be transformed in. You want your relationship with God to be deepened. You want to have new connections or deeper connections with other people. Maybe there's some habits you want to break that are robbing you of life. Or maybe you just want to start the new year practicing gratitude and finding the joy that brings. You know, as we learn to fit ourselves into what God is doing, as we learn to surrender ourselves, our minds, our wills, our hopes, our dreams to Him, we learn to trust ourselves to Him and His care and His position for us. And so we throw out this phrase, Happy New Year. And it's got all sorts of connotations, doesn't it? It's full of hope and longing and promise and boldness and potential. There's so much we long for. There's so much unanswered questions that come with that, though, isn't there? What's this year going to be like? What sort of new relationships and connections will I form? Will things finally work out for me at school or at work or in my relationships? What's the future going to hold? Will I finally finish high school? Will I finally get a new job? Will I start a new school? Will I lose those extra pounds I've been carrying? Will I get healed? Will I find somebody to share my life with? Will I? The list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Happy New Year. In some senses, it invites us to put aside or forget about the things from this last year. You know, don't worry, be happy, leave the past in the past. And then we rehearse in there. There's so much to look forward to. It was the Babylonians centuries ago who are credited with creating this annual celebration. It must have been a pretty clever group because they took an unremarkable transition of no specific special significance, the passing of time, and they infused it with so much hope and promise and potential. In a matter of a second, everything that was upset is gone. Everything that's past is banished. And behold, it's a brand new day, a brand new year, a brand new you. And almost every culture around the world marks that passing of time and that longing for hope and that taking inventory of the past. And sometimes we look at the past and it's full of last year's full of regrets and failures and mistakes, and there's a sense for some, I made it, I got through it, maybe 2017 will be better. And that propels us forward. It's often about making resolutions to ourselves and others, feeling better about ourselves. I want this year to be better than last year. It's about learning to give in to the desire to live healthier or stress-free or longer or more awesome lives. And Jesus wants the same for us, but He wants much more. And while many of our resolutions revolve around what the culture dictates, in terms of diets, in terms of exercise, in terms of organization, Jesus wants us to live lives that are full of meaning and purpose. Lives that are full and joyful. Lives that are free from anxiety and worry. Lives that are dependent upon Him. But Jesus said this in John 10, and I'm reading from the Message. He says, I'll be explicit. I'm the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. They will freely go in and out. They'll find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. And often our New Year's resolutions are our attempts to take control over what went wrong last year and prevent it from happening again in this new year. But we're led astray by that misnomer, New Year, since nothing actually changes in us on New Year's Day. We may resolve to, but until we actually put something into practice, everything remains the same. And that's because transformation often doesn't happen all at once, in an instance, by merely exercising our will, in spite of our willing it to be so. We often have these weird, odd, unrealistic views of what it means to walk with Jesus. Sometimes we think, you know, if I'm a Christian, then everything in life is going to go smoothly for me. You know, if that's what you're looking for, then Christianity is not for you. Because God promises not that everything will be smooth, but that He will be with you in the midst of all the rough stuff, in the midst of all the bumps and the bruises. That's why we played that video from Romans 8 just before I started to speak. It reminds us about hope, that God is birthing something new in the midst of the lack of hope, in the midst of what the world throws at us. And God's doing that, not just around us, but in us. It's a looking forward, it's a hoping, it's a longing, because it's not here yet. See, that birthing, that transformation involves our will, our desire, but it doesn't end there. Transformation starts with surrender. One statistic I read recently said that 92% of us fail completely at our New Year's resolutions. Over 50% will have failed by the end of January. How many have failed at their New Year's resolutions already? No, you don't have to raise your hand. We fail, often because we don't understand how change works. When people decide to change something, they believe they can just muster up enough willpower and then that will change behavior. Except we don't change as a matter of will. Our transformation starts with surrender. Let me read from Matthew 11. I'm going to put the New Living Translation on the screen, but I'm going to read from the Message. And Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." See, transformation is about resting in Jesus. It's about letting Him do His work in us. But that rest is a very active thing at the same time. It's not rest like we often think of rest, where I just put my feet up and put my head back and God's just going to transform me. Now listen to Isaiah 54. Prophet Isaiah says this, "Sing, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into loud and joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home. Spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." Those are words written to God's people. And a reminder that in a time of barrenness, in a time of desperation, in a time of desolation, in a time when things don't seem to be working out, when things don't seem to be going the way we long for, when things don't happen the way God's promised maybe, God is still at work. And He's still calling His people. And He says, "Get ready. Get ready. Because I'm in the midst of doing a brand new thing." In a world where people don't like to talk about God and Jesus and faith and real relationship with the King of the universe, I'm drawing people to myself. In a world where the buzzword is post-truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. It's not just, it's knowing Him. Not simply knowing about Jesus. Not having some facts about Him, but knowing Him. Being in relationship with Him, that we have life. And that change, that transformation begins with surrender. Because we have to be willing to believe something about ourselves that Jesus teaches. And that truth is, we aren't who we think we are. It's hard to accept that what Jesus is offering is true unless we're willing to take seriously the possibility that some of the things we believe about ourselves are not true. We listen to those lies that run in our head about us being failures, not being good, that you've blown it too many times. And God says, no, those aren't true. Those aren't true. I have created you in my image. I've recreated you in a new creation. Let's watch this video.
The Prince's Bride by S. Morgenstern, Chapter 1. Buttercup was raised on a small farm in the country of Florin. Her favorite pastimes were riding her horse and tormenting the farm boy that worked there. His name was Wesley, but she never called him that. Isn't that a wonderful beginning?
Yeah, it's really good.
Nothing gave Buttercup as much pleasure as ordering Wesley around.
Farm boy, polish my horse's saddle. I want to see my face shining in it by morning.
As you wish.
As you wish was all he ever said.
Farm boy, fill these with water. Please.
As you wish.
That day she was amazed to discover that when he was saying, as you wish, what he meant was, I love you. And even more amazing was the day she realized she truly loved him back.
Farm boy. Fetch me that pitcher.
As you wish. Three simple words, but words that, you know, in part of the story of the princess bride, but words that come to mean an awful lot more. When we say those words to our Heavenly Father, we're making ourselves completely vulnerable to Him and His will. Lord, as you wish. When we offer ourselves to Him, as you wish. We offer ourselves to each other as expressions of love and service, as you wish. Learning to say those words, as you wish. It's a word, a message that transforms. And at the core of that transformation is grace turned outward. You see, this wonderful grace that we walk in, this grace that God offers unconditionally to us, is in turn to be offered to others. You know, whenever we hold on to things tightly, whenever we grasp them, we lose what God is doing. You know, I often remind us that when we pray, we need to pray with open hands. Because it symbolizes a couple of things. We're giving it to God, whatever we're bringing. You know, if our hands are clenched, God can't take it. We hang on to it. We have open hands. We're releasing it and saying, Lord, you take this because I don't know what to do with it. But our open hands then also symbolize the reality that God can pour out what He wants to pour out into our lives. We come with open hands and we say, Lord, as you wish, as you wish. We let go and we receive. We've been loved and in turn are to love others. And that's the catalyst for growth and change. The gospel is a gospel of hope. It's a gospel of welcome. It's a gospel of grace turned outward. As you wish. Lord, as you wish. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble, gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." That's how transformation begins, with our trust and with our willingness, as you wish. As we surrender to the Lord our best, our ways of doing things, and we accept His ideas, His thoughts, His plans, we don't repay evil with evil. We learn to love our enemies. We do good to those who curse us. We bless. We serve. We look out for those on the margin, and we welcome them in. We do all that. Because God loves us. We love others because God first loved us. Take a moment and imagine with me one of those dreadful trust fail exercises. You ever go to camp and they do one of those trust fail exercises? You have to stand there and you fall back and you have to depend on others to catch you. Accepting God's kindness. Accepting God's forgiveness. Accepting and understanding God's patience is just like that. Except you can't see who's going to catch you. There's an act of letting go that's involved there. You've been hanging on to a rope for dear life. And then Jesus says, "Trust me." And you have to let go. You have to let go of fear. And you have to let go of control. And you have to let go of power. And you fall into powerlessness. And being vulnerable. And you have to suspend your disbelief and trust that you're falling up into God's love and His kindness and His forgiveness and His acceptance. And as you surrender, consider that you're surrendering to God, the God that Jesus trusted with His life and said was always good and is at work for you and for your benefit. Again, listen to what Paul says. This is a passage in Romans 8 that comes after that video we saw. And again, I want to read from the message. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone's going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble. Not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love. Because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. That's the God whom Jesus knew. A God who is good to His very core. And He is good all the time. He's constantly faithful, constantly kind, constantly loving. And His goodness leads us to repentance. Dallas Willard, in one of his books, gives a very quick outline. I'm not even going to explore this morning. We're going to be looking at this as we look at Mended over the next few weeks. It's not a complicated or difficult process. It doesn't require a whole bunch of willpower. Basically, he says there's four simple elements. We need to change the stories in our mind. Change those tapes, those things that we keep running. We need to begin to engage in some new practices. And then we're entering into reflection and dialogue with others who are on the same path, all under the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, we keep listening to the lies. We need to change that. And that's part of what being healed and mended and being set free is about. We need to engage in some new practices. Because if the old things aren't working, what makes us think if we're going to keep on doing that, it's going to change anything? But then it also takes reflection and dialogue with others who are on the same path. You see, we are not meant to live this thing called the Christian life on our own. We need the encouragement of one another. We need that walking with one another. As we wrestle with things in our society, with things in our culture, as we deal with ethical issues, when we look at issues around euthanasia, as we look at medical issues that we're confronted with, as we look at political issues in our world, how do we walk as believers, as followers of Jesus together? How do we live godly lives in the midst of an ungodly world? And we really do need one another. And we listen to the Holy Spirit in all of that. As I said, we're going to dig more into that over the next few weeks. But it begins basically by saying, as you wish, as you wish. Lord, I recognize that you are God and I'm not. I recognize that you are the one who is in control, and I'm not. Let's pray. And so, Father, at this beginning of a new year, teach us to say, as you wish. Father, at the beginning of a new year, I pray that you'd begin to change the stories in our minds. Lord, the lies that we believe, things that have been there for years, for decades. We keep playing the same tapes over and over again. Lord, show us, remind us of the reality of who we are in Christ, that we are changed men and women. We are new in you. We're set free from the claims that the evil one has on us. And so, Lord, open the eyes of our hearts so that we may know the hope to which you have called us, and we may know your incomparably great power, that we may be men and women who serve and who welcome. It will be people who listen to your voice and obey. As you wish. Because we love you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm inviting.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.